Okay, Matthew 16. Well, I'll just do it too in case it decides to stop. Huh? Wise. All right, somebody want to start to read there at first verse.
Matthew 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees come, and tempting desire him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be fair weather to say, for the sky is red and roaring. All ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sign of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after his son. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000s and how many baskets ye take up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000s and how many baskets ye took up. How is that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning of bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They understood there how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Okay, let's stop there. Yes, Lord, we're depending on you to bring this out the way you want it brought out, God. Praise God. So the Pharisees came to tempt him. They came tempting him. They really didn't want to know the truth. And, you know, they want to show us a sign from heaven. And he answered them and said, when you see the sky, you can discern the weather, but how is it you can't discern the sign of the times? Because they were fleshly minded and they weren't spiritually minded at all. Now, he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. God is always looking at our heart, and God knows our heart. We don't know our heart, but he wants to reveal things to us, whatever makes manifest as light. So we've been looking at James, you know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And the reason is because it squeezes us, it tries us, it tests us, and it brings out what's inside of us. Again, it's like a sponge. It squeezes a sponge, and the only thing that comes out of it is what's inside of it. Without being squeezed, you might not see the dirty water. But when you squeeze it, you see the dirty water. And so, but God doesn't do it to put us down. God's doing it to reveal to us what's really in our heart. And God's the only one who can change my heart. A while back, we never did really go there to read. We don't have time tonight. But if in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says about, you know, the Greeks seek wisdom, but the Jews require a sign. They want a miracle. Well, what's wrong with miracles? I mean, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I mean, he went about doing miracles. In fact, when he fed the 5,000, it was a miracle, right? It was a miracle. But the Pharisees, you know, they must have heard about it. And they must have heard about the healings. Herod heard about the healings. He wanted to see a miracle. He wanted Jesus to do some kind of a miracle. But he wasn't doing any miracle for Herod, because Herod didn't have the right heart. Amen? Now, so in Corinthians, the Jews are seeking a sign, and the Greeks are seeking wisdom. But Paul says, I'm not gonna give either one of them what they want. But God will do whatever he's going to do. God has a plan. God knows exactly what he's going to do. We heard that Sunday. I believe what the Lord has been showing Jeff here about, you know, these things are written down in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're saved to do these works that God has preordained for us to walk in. There are things that God has already set up. Jesus came here to fulfill all righteousness. He came to do the will of his Father, which is in heaven. And if he said, if you want to know the will of God, if you want to know the truth, you'll know it. But if you don't want to know the truth, you're not going to know it. Because God's looking at our heart. And God, again, is the only one who can change it. We're going to see it here. So, they're seeking a sign. Well, God isn't going to give them a sign. Jesus isn't going to give them a sign because their heart isn't right. They're not looking for the truth. They're trying to trick Jesus. And so, just with Herod, then he's not going to give them a sign. And when his disciples, five, were come to the other side, they were forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. Now, it's a stretch for me to see how they're even thinking that, right? I mean, he didn't say anything about not having bread. He just said, beware 11 of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But they're reasoning in their mind, and they're saying, it's because we didn't bring any bread. I mean, they're not on their game. their mind is off somewhere else. God does a miracle through Jesus Christ that God has already set up for him to do. He has the people there. They're hungry. And so God knew what was going to happen. Jesus knows what God wants to do. So he brings it about. I see my Father work and I work. And yet not only the Pharisees, but his own disciples don't discern what happened. When Jesus perceived, verse 8, he said unto them, O ye little faith, why reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? You do not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. They didn't remember. They didn't understand. You do not yet understand. If we go to Mark, somebody go to Mark 8. We don't have to all go there. We can go to Mark 8 and read 15 through 21.
And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, and having ears ye hear not, and do not remember. When I break the bread of five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand?
Okay. They were there. They participated in the miracle, yet it didn't register with them. And they get to the next problem, and they don't remember what God had done. It sounds like the Jews, God got them out of Egypt. They forgot what God had done, and then they made a calf. This is our God that brought us out of Egypt. And so they're in the flesh. And he uses the word hardened. You perceive not, yet neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not, and do not remember. You know, the Bible tells us that we've got to believe that Jesus came in the flesh. But we sure can believe that the disciples were in the flesh. Amen? Amen? He didn't pick the cream of the crop. Come on. He didn't pick the cream. How about the guy that's waiting in the temple to see the Messiah, and the Spirit leads him there, and he sees the baby, and he knows this is the Messiah. He's just a baby. He's not doing any miracles. He's not doing anything. But yet the guy knows that this is the Son of the living God. And he worships him. These guys aren't. These guys are out in left field somewhere. Oh, he's mad at us because we forgot to bring bread. No, he's not. So, anyway, but you know, this is something that's written. We know this. You know, we've read this a little while ago. In Isaiah, who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf but my messenger that I sent? Seeing many things, but you don't understand. You don't see it. And, you know, experiencing many. So that's how we are. Really, that's how we are. Now, you have to remember, you know, we got to know where we're at. The truth is what makes me and you what? Free. And the truth is that we need him. We sang that song, I need thee, oh, I need you, right? We need him. It isn't just, oh, I need him. You know, I just have to confess that I need him. No, I need him. I mean, I need him. Okay, I want to give you a couple examples. Barnhart's had a couple testimonies last night. One, I think Saturday they said, somebody came into the office there, and they came into the gate. They said to the guy at the guard at the gate, you know, that they had to hurry up and get in because their son had drowned, and he was going to tell his father. His son had drowned at this pond they were swimming at. So they went and told Bill or somebody, or some one of them. Anyway, they prayed. And what they prayed was, I like this. They prayed, you know, God give them mercy, because he had talked to this guy before, the grandfather, and he's an atheist, you know. So anyway, so they prayed, but then they didn't hear anything, and they didn't want to call up and say, did your grandson really die? Or, you know, I mean, they didn't want to tell it. But anyway, he ran into him Monday, and he happened to say something about it, and he said, oh, he's good. You know, he's in the hospital. He's going to be fine. He's going to be complete, you know. And then Bill said, well, you know, we prayed for him. And he says, yeah. But a couple things I got from that. Well, I better say it. It doesn't matter. You know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But I don't really know how many of them deserved it. Do you? Right? That's why his mercies are new every morning. And that's why when he said, you know, if the miracles had been done in Capernaum, you know, that were done in Capernaum, were done in Tyre and Sidon, you know, they were repented long ago. But these people, he did it to them because God is love. He reached out and he did it. But we're here, and so when we get a prayer request, it really doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. We're here because God's merciful. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. We can pray however we feel God leading us to pray. And they don't have to be saved. They don't have to be living right. They don't have to anything. If God wants to heal them, he can heal them. In fact, the other way around. I've found it's easier to get somebody healed who doesn't know so much. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And it's harder to talk to somebody that thinks they know everything. I had a guy tell me one time, he said in his church, he's sort of an elder in the church. Anyway, they had asked people to come up and pray, and his sister came up and prayed, and she was sick. You could tell she was sick. She was, anyway, he says, can I pray for you? No, that's okay. And he said, you know, she wouldn't even let me pray for her. Now, I don't know the girl, I don't know the lady, and I don't know the situation, but I do know this, that I've heard things like that. Only one time have I had somebody say to me, no, we don't want prayer. Well, in fact, they took me out of the room and said, please don't pray for our Father. You can do that under your breath, but don't pray out loud. We have this capacity. It doesn't matter where they're at. It matters, what is God saying? What is God telling me to do? What is God saying to me? See, that's why we need this connection with God, to understand, because what does God maybe set this up? And it's a sign to that grandfather, whether he accepts it or wants to acknowledge it or not, God did it. Amen? Amen. And so, the other one is Emily. She said that there's somebody who comes in and cleans at night, and once in a while he gets there early before she leaves work or something, and so she gets to talk to him. Anyway, I don't know how long ago it was. She didn't know him how long. Anyway, he always gets migraines. He told her he's had migraines. So she says, can I pray for you? So she prayed. And so, you know, time went by, and she didn't see him, and she forgot all about it. And then the other day, he came in early, and then she's talking to him, and all of a sudden it pops in her mind. She says, oh, how's your headaches? You know, since you prayed for me, I've had one headache. And then he went on to something else. And I noticed with praying people, now remember that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The enemy wants to hide stuff. And so when you pray for somebody, like, you know, they prayed for that boy, you know, and we believe. And if other people prayed for him, that's fine. You know, we don't have to take all the credit, but we know that God did it. Amen? Amen? So, same way with that guy. You know, and maybe I'll let her say what she wanted to say about that. But anyway, I gave a couple examples of where people were prayed, you know, I prayed for them. And, you know, the miracle happened. Something happened miraculous. And you know, a couple of weeks later, I talked to them, and they didn't recognize it. They didn't see it all. And I had to say, you know, we prayed about that. Remember, you were so worried about that. You have an operation and everything. Yeah, well, I got there, and then they checked me again. They said, well, we really don't need an operation. I said, well, that was God. Oh, yeah. The devil wants to hide it. The devil wants to hide any because it's giving glory to God. Amen? The disciples are in this boat. They fed the 5,000. They fed the 4,000. They saw it. They experienced it. They were there. So now they forget to bring bread. And it's not a long journey across there. It's not a big deal. And Jesus starts talking about something that's really important. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven, the false doctrine. Satan, and these are the religious leaders. And he's telling them, watch out. And they don't get it at all. I mean, they have no idea. But when we get down to the end, back to Matthew 11, 16:11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, it doesn't make it real clear here, but what really happened was God opened their understanding. And then they understood. Remember the two guys walking from the road to Emmaus, and then Jesus appears, and they don't really know it's Jesus, and they're talking to him about all this stuff that happened, and this and that and the other thing, and they're eating with him, and they don't recognize him. And then, you know, he breaks the bread, and he prays, and then their eyes are open, and then they understood. And then he's gone. Unless God opens our understanding, we don't understand. We can't understand. The flesh cannot understand. But praise God, God does a miracle. And that's one of the things that Paul prays, you know, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual, what? Understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful and unto every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. Every good work is every work that God has already preordained for us to do. It's already, if you want to use that analogy, written in the book. It's already, God had it designed. It's part of our ministry. It's part of what God has enabled us to do. You know, we looked the other Wednesday night at the fact that when they were building the
tabernacle
and they had to make the drapes and the and all this stuff, and the women were doing that kind of stuff, and it said that God gave them the wisdom and the understanding to make these things for the temple. And then the guys are working with the tin and the staves and all the other stuff. And they named these people who God had put in them the wisdom to work with this stuff. It wasn't something they went to school for. It's something that God gave to them. We saw that Solomon prayed and asked for discernment, a hearing, understanding heart. And on the margin, it says a hearing heart, hearing what God is saying so he could judge these people, because he was never a king before. He never did this before. He didn't have this talent. This wasn't something he was born with. This is something that God gave him, and he asked for it, and God gave it to him. An understanding, a hearing heart. So when he judged people, like those two women and the one baby, this isn't coming from Solomon. It's coming from what God had put into Solomon. Because he asked for understanding heart, and God gave him wisdom and an understanding heart. So we come to the New Testament, to a God who does exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us, not according to your righteousness, not according to what you do. In a sense, you deserve it. He does more than you deserve. Amen? Mm-hmm. Exceeding abundantly. He abounded towards us in all grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And right? If we give our tithes into the storehouse, he says, I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot, what? Contain. And so it doesn't matter how much we give in a sense of the quantity, it's the quality. It's what we, if we're given it. And the other thing that God did with these men and women was not only did he give them the talent to do it, but he gave them a willing heart. He changed their heart so they wanted to do it. They wanted to do it. They wanted to give. They wanted to make this stuff for the tabernacle. And so the women were making these things, the drapes and all this stuff for the tabernacle. The men were making this other stuff for the tabernacle. Not all the men, not all the women, they were each doing different things, but God had given them wisdom and the will, the purpose to do it. And like Jeff brought out this Sunday, they wanted to do it. They liked to do it because they were doing God's will. It wasn't grin their teeth and bearing it. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. They enjoyed it. You know, if we praise God and it's a sacrifice in a sense, you know, there is a sacrifice of praise, but, you know, we come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise because he has done for us good things, great things. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter, you know, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. Not everything's going to be rosy. It's not going to be that way. But God's promised us the victory. Amen? He's promised us the victory. Not only that, but, you know, it's why James says you glory in, Paul, you glory in tribulation. Count it all joy when you fall into divers different temptations. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials to try you. Some strange thing is happening to you. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, nobody's stoning me. Yeah, but you're being persecuted. I'm being persecuted. Because I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers. And they're doing some things. But God's turning it, as we meet it right, God's turning it for our good. He's turning what the enemy's doing for good. And so, They don't understand what Jesus is saying. And so, but then when he isn't doing it by explaining. He's talking to them, but we have to understand, when he's talking, his words are spirit and they're life. They're coming from God. And so the word is working. It's doing more than just their mind. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, 5 and 6. The faith and love that spring, this is NIV, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, that has come to you in the same way the gospel... Now listen to this. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit. The King James says, which has come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. But the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The Word of God is working in you. The Word of God is working in me. And it's working beyond what I can grasp with my natural mind. His wisdom is spiritual wisdom. His understanding is spiritual understanding. And my natural mind cannot grasp that. But His Word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharpening a two-edged sword. So it's doing its work. As long as I continue to receive with meekness the engrafted word, He continues to write it on my heart. As He continues to write it on my heart, it's in there. And when it's in there, it's Christ is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, being washed by the water of the word. You're being washed by the word. It's working in us. It isn't, oh, now I understand. No, He says, I'll write it on your hearts. I'll put it in your minds. So that we become what's in our heart. As a man thinketh in it. But we are God's workmanship. He started a work in you. He started a work in me. And as long as I continue to receive the word with meekness, He changes me into that image. And who is the word? Jesus is the word. So He's forming. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul said, I'm continue to pray, you know, travail in prayer for you till Christ be formed in you. Christ is being formed in you. Christ is being formed in me. And the word says that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. It's true. And He happens to be greater than you. And me. Amen? That's why it's faith in God. It's faith in Him. It's not faith in me. It's faith in Him. When I put my faith in me, I'm going to fall. But I can boldly say, the Lord is my what? Helper. I will not fear what man or demons do unto me. I forget who it was. If it was demons, it was Sicarian or who it was. They were staying at these people's house and they were up in this room. And in the middle of the night, they woke up and they felt this terrible presence. I felt that once in Thailand. Anyway, they woke up and he says, he looked over and he says, in the foot of his bed, and there was a devil. Oh, it's just you. And he rolled over and went to sleep. You know, the devil went away really depressed. I mean, he delights. That's his thing. I mean, that's his thing. He likes to scare people. He likes to, you know, oh, it's just you. And rolled over and went to sleep. Greater is He that is in us. And we can be confident in this very thing. He that begun a good work in us, He's going to finish it. Amen? These disciples, they did, you know, they saw these miracles. They were there. They did them. They handled it. They saw it. How could you say it didn't happen? They're not saying it didn't happen. They just forgot about it. They forgot about it. What are they thinking about? Well, we can't really judge them, can we? Can you think of anything that God did for you? It's miraculous? Yeah, and there's a lot of things I forget until God reminds me of them. But he's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us fail, because he wants to give us everything we have need of. And so he opens their understanding so they understand that they're, you know, he's not talking about the fact that they didn't bring bread. Let's go back to Matthew again, Matthew 16. And when verse 13, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said one time in Matthew, I think it's 11 or 10, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise," and he hid these things from the wise and the prudent, "and hath revealed them unto babes, for such is your will." I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need the revelation power, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's what Paul said, "I'm praying for you," Ephesians, all the time, that God would grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And we looked last week, too, about Solomon, how that God gave him this spirit of wisdom and an understanding heart so that he could judge the people. But we saw that how he slowly drifted away from God because he wasn't obedient. But you know, that God didn't want to just give him that. God wanted to give him other things, too. God wants to give us other things. Now, you can't just go up here and say, "I want everything." It doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." So there is a process. There is a, a growing. So it's line upon line. It's brick upon brick. It's building us up that way. And this has to be set first, and then this, and then we can hear this. Okay. But it's God that's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God. We are his workmanship. So Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You didn't figure this out, Simon. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." In Ephesians, Paul prayed, you know, that God would grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? What is the hope of actually being what God wants us to be? When he was talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he raised the standard. He didn't lower the standard. He raised the standard. And then, you know, when a guy comes and says, you know, what must I do to get saved? And he says, "Well, you got to do this. Yeah, I did all those things. Well, one thing you lack: sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then you should come follow me, and you'll be my disciple." You know, he didn't. He turned away and went away. And then Jesus said, "How hard it is for they that trust in riches to
enter into the kingdom of heaven."
And his disciples said, "Well, then, who's going to get saved? I mean, how can we get anybody saved? How are we going to?" This is just starting out, folks. You know what I mean? It's like, how is anybody going to receive this? If that's so hard. That's so hard. Can't you make it a little bit less? No. With man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. So if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be saved. Because he started a good work in there. And he says he's going to finish it. Amen? So that's what I got to believe. I mean, that's what I got to labor to believe then, and the rest, that he said he started it, so he's going to finish it. I didn't start it. He called you. He called me. He called it. And we heard Sunday. He chose us before the foundations of the world. We don't understand that. But he says he did it. So he did it. And that's why we know what we know. But we need to know more. Amen? Amen? So we add diligence to the things that we know, to our faith, and we add to that virtue, and we add this to it, that to it, in 2 Peter. We add these things. Solomon could have asked for more knowledge of God, like Moses said. He's talking to God face to face. I mean, nobody else is doing this. Well, Joshua's staying afterwards, but doesn't say he's talking to God like a friend. But Moses is talking to him. And after that, it says, Moses says, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I might know thee, that I might find grace in their sight. That I might know you better. That we might know him better. Amen? We're not just committed to doctrines. We're committing ourselves to a person, to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yeah. Well, then feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Well, then feed my lambs. Peter, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. That's the motivation. Well, I don't know if I love God with all of my heart, all my soul, my spirit, all my strength. I don't know if I can do that. Well, don't think about it. You can't. But he can. Put it in you. John 17. I've proclaimed unto them thy name, and will proclaim it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Ephesians chapter 3, you might experience the love of Christ.
Passes knowledge.
You might know it. Did you experience it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Glory and tribulation, also knowing tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because what? The love of God is being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. We are his workmanship. Believe in him. You know, he said he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before his presence. Somebody told me the other day. I said, oh, how's it going? You know, you just ask. You don't expect this. That is a terrible day. And then somebody else said, why don't you just talk about the day before? That was better. And they said, well, I just blew it today. I blew it. I did it. He said some things that he did. Of course, I pointed a finger at him.
Been there, done it. Been there, done it, right?
So we don't put down our brother or sister. We pray for them, right? And we encourage them. Encourage one another with these words. Oh, I want to get back to that. This is what came to me last night. Oh, it was so good. Not because it was me. It came out of me, but it wasn't me. I'm going through this with the thing about the people in the Old Testament, how the women, you know, did this, the drapes and all this other stuff, and the men, the metal and this stuff, all the things that Moses had seen in the vision. And then he wrote it down and he gave it to them. But Moses didn't have the talent. He didn't have the gift or the willingness to do it. God wasn't calling him to do that. But each man and woman was given this wisdom and stuff to work this stuff. And I know from other that, you know, at the end, they put all this stuff together. And it goes through this, you know, put this to this, and this goes to this, and this. And I'm thinking, why did they put this in here? I can't understand. I can't figure out what they're saying. You know, I can't picture it in my mind. But, you know, when they put the last gate stave together and hung the drape or whatever, what happened? The glory cloud came down. The glory cloud came down. God gave them the vision, gave Moses the vision. He wrote it down, and then he dispersed it to the people. But then God gave the people to build the temple. And so each joint supplying built tabernacle, and then they started putting the tabernacle together
And like I said, it says that, you know, they put this to this, this goes to this, this goes to that. And when they finally got everything together and the tabernacle was complete, the presence of God came down. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, till we all come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. This is what God wants to do. This is his vision. That we are the temple of God. Amen? We're members in particular. And God has given gifts to each one of us. Things that need to be done in the building and the erecting of the tabernacle. You have some kind of talent. You have something that God has given you that you can do, and he's given to give you the willingness, the ability, God working in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. And when we all work together in the unity and we build this thing according to God's blueprint, when it's completed, it's the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Woo! That's exceeding abundantly. Amen? I can't try to be like God. I can't try to be like Jesus. But I'm not supposed to. Freely I've received, so freely give it. But I can't freely give it unless I freely receive it. If I gain something through my effort, I'm really prone to be critical of somebody who isn't meeting my standards. Amen? When I realize that everything that I have is by his grace, then I don't judge in the flesh anymore. Because it's by grace I'm saved through faith. It's not of myself. It's a gift from God. And no matter what other gift God gives you, it's a gift. Amen? It's a gift. And the gifts and the calling of God are out repentance. But I just don't want the gift. See, I want to add to that. I want to add to that. I want to add to this. Till I get to the end of... to Peter there, where it gets the end. Well, we'll look at it before we quit. Let me see if I wanted to get... Okay, flesh and blood is not revealed, this is my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. The NIV puts it this way, I will give you, and the other way it could be read, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Now, if you put that with what Jeff was saying, and you know, Jeff said it Sunday, but it's God saying it, and I believe it. See, because God knew exactly how he wanted the tabernacle to be built, and he knows the end at the very beginning. So whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It says in Psalms that we're to execute the judgment written. Execute the judgment written. So God has a plan. And I need to fit into that plan. It isn't just the signs and the wonders, but I'm doing what he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. That's doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's the Father's plan? I don't know, but he wants to reveal it to me. He wants to reveal it to you. And that's why we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him. Amen? So when I get there, it isn't a surprise. You're not doing what I want you to do. I'm leaning on my own understanding. I got to hear, what is the Spirit saying? Today, if I will hear his voice... You know, they tried to trap Jesus, and they brought the woman caught in adultery. I mean, she's caught in adultery. And they bring him to, you know, of course, we know the story. And everybody leaves, because he is without sin, cast the first stone. Now, you know that it just isn't what he said, but God was working with him, because when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So he that is without sin cast the first stone. I mean, he tried to tell them before they were sinners, and they wouldn't. Not us. We're the sons of, you know, we're the children of Abraham.
We're not dogs. We're not Gentile dogs. But when he said at that time, they laughed. But you know what they said to him? It's written. It's in there. Moses wrote, you know, she's to be stoned. What do you say? They're tempting him. Because they know, they knew by what he did before, you know, they said, well, let's see what he does with this. But he came to do the will of his Father. I see my Father work, and I work. I hear what my Father is saying, and I say it. So he was justified in what he did. Because Moses wrote the law because God gave him the law. But if the lawgiver says this, it's what it is, and mercy rejoices against judgment. But some people are judged. He will be merciful to whom he will be merciful, and whom he will he hardeneth. That's why we need to really thank God that we see what we see, but also using that and understand that we have favor with God. So God, I'm asking you for more. I want to see you more. I want to get to know you more. I don't care. It doesn't matter if I know more than my neighbor knows about God. That's not what I'm to. I need to know him more. I'm not firing on all eight. I'm not doing everything. I don't believe I'm doing everything right. And I know I've messed up a couple times. But praise God, his mercies are new every morning. And he's, you know, as Paul said, I'm travailing in prayer till Christ be formed in you. And this is what God's doing. He's forming Christ in us. And as we saw that one devotion, you know, if you can't, God doesn't want you to try to do it. If it's not in you, you don't have it. If you don't have the nature of God in you, or to the place where, what was that one about fretting, and it says, if you're not to the place where you can't fret, well, I ain't there yet. But God says he wants to get me there. God said he can get me there. Amen? He said he can do it. Now unto him who is able to keep you and I from falling. In fact, he gives us... It's amazing how I don't see things. And then God opens them up. Like, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind. But I got to do the first part, but he does the second part, the peace of God that passes understanding. Not me, him. Now unto him who is able to keep me from falling. He's able to present me faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And then this one, in John, 1 John 3, I think, 3 or 4. Anyway, 3. That which is born of God does not sin, cannot sin, because his seed remains in him. The Spirit of God does not sin. That which is born of the Spirit does not sin. My flesh does. That which isn't given to God yet, that which hasn't been conquered yet in me. But God wants to give me the victory, has given me the victory through Jesus Christ. And so I'm supposed to go up and into the land, take that land, take that promised land, believing in God, believing in God's ability to get me there. And I'm going to read this and we'll quit. In 2 Peter, it's just something how all this stuff fits together, right? Don't know how he did that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, or knowing God. Grace and peace be multiplied. Not added. Multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power
according as his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge or knowing him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now he's called us, it's a, by glory and virtue. He isn't calling us, he isn't giving us that because we have glory and virtue. He's giving us because of glory and virtue, because of his glory and his virtue. He's making me into what he wants me to be. He's making you into what he's called you to be. Amen? He delights in taking nothing and making something out of it. That brings praise and honor and glory to God. Amen? Amen? So, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory or by glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, when you have the divine nature, guess what? God cannot be tempted with sin. Isn't that what it says? Right? So, God can get you and I to the place where we can't fret. Well, who can be saved? Who can ever get to that place? Well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. Amen? Amen? Come on. I can boldly say the Lord's my helper. Amen? And faith is always the substance of things you're hoping for. You're expecting it. Expect it is going to happen. But if you never expect it, I'm trying to get there. Well, you can't try to get there. You got to ask God. You have not because you don't ask for it. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you lack anything, ask God. Because you ain't going to get it out of your flesh. It's got to come from God through the Spirit. And besides this, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you put that with James. Every man is tempted with his own lust. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is coming down from above, from the Father of lights. And the wisdom from above is pure, is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Praise God. All right. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith or by your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. All these things we acquire by faith. What we're doing, though, is what Solomon did. We're asking God. We're calling on the name of the Lord. Hey, I can't judge these people. I don't have what it takes. I need this, God. Well, God asked him first what he wanted, and then God gave him more than he asked for. Amen? Plus all the other things. It sounds like if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us. Amen? So instead of bugging God about these natural things, we're focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these other things fall into place. I'm not saying you won't be tempted in the areas, but he'll always come through. He'll always come through. Because the trying of your faith, that's what's more precious than gold that perishes if we try with fire. And so to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, God, all through faith, looking to God for these things to be developed in us, and to brotherly kindness, love. And if these things be in you, and see, that's the last, you know, that's the end, the love. For if these things be in you and abound, and God's able to cause all grace to abound towards you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Amen? Again, our lives are bringing glory and honor and praise to him because people can't think how, they just don't understand how you operate. You don't make any worldly sense. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord. They will make you, they will cause you not to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This was revealed to me too, and I'm not 100% sure on this yet, but you know where it says, you know, demons are cast out and the house is cleansed, and then, you know,
they go through dry places and they go back and they find a place house swept and clean, and they go get other seven demons worse than themselves and take over, you know, again. Well, when we get purged from our sins, when we get saved, you know, and we're made the righteousness of God in Christ, if we don't grow in God, if we're not going to God like Solomon, didn't keep going to God and getting what he needed, he ended up going the wrong direction. Evil spirits took over, and his end wasn't good. And our end can be that way too. But see, this is what God's doing. He's working in us. He's the glory. Our lives bring glory and honor and praise to God. And that's why these guys in Revelation, you know, they can throw their crowns down, because he's the one that deserves it. Amen? Amen? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Father, we just thank you. We praise you tonight. You started something in us and you said you can finish it. Help us, Lord, to not get lazy in the spirit or try to do it on our own, try to do it our way, but to submit ourselves wholly to you and allow you to do these things that are beyond what we can ask or think, according to your power that's working in us. And you can only work in us, you can only give us what we ask for and what we believe you for and trust you for. But you're telling us here, just like they told the children of Israel, that you wouldn't possess the land. They're going to go to God. You were giving them the land, but they had to overcome these enemies that were in the land. But they weren't going to do it alone. You were going before them, and it didn't look like it to them, but you were going before them. And when Joshua went in, you were going before them, and they didn't lose when they were following you. They lost the battle because they didn't follow you, but when they were found, they didn't lose any battle. And it's the same thing with us. You promise us the victory. You promise us the victory. Lord, we want each one to fulfill the call, the purpose, wherewith you have called and chosen them. That your name would be magnified and glorified in this earth, in our lives. Lord, it's a miracle, but you're well able to do it. But it is a miracle, because we really can't do it without you. The disciples couldn't do it. Jesus told them, without me you can do nothing. But they were to tarry in Jerusalem till they were being endued with power from on high. And then that spirit that was given would lead them and guide them into all truth. And as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, directed by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, not just to do certain things, but to implant God's nature in us, to take out the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, causing us to walk in your statutes, to keep your judgments, and to do them. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. All God's promises. Thank you. Help us to take them. Help us to be led by your Spirit to take them and acquire what we need from you, so that we can bring glory and honor and praise to your name. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.